This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, I'm literally Mark Dolan, and this is Mark Dolan Eats the News. Now, given that this is a topical comedy show that deals with the week's big stories, today is basically Christmas for us. A show which is jam-packed with analysis and, more importantly, hilarious humour around the whole issue of the EU referendum. Now, I'm quite excited because we are the only broadcast platform in the country that's allowed to talk about the EU referendum because we are the UK's largest online radio station. And when you're online, you're not covered by this sort of weird cabal of men in suits called Ofcom. We're independent of that, which is fantastic and brilliant. So we can talk about it. We can take your tweets at FUBAR Radio, at Mr. Mark Dolan. And let's roll our sleeves up and let's just get talking about how we're feeling, what's going to happen. Are you voting? Do you care? And I'm going to do that in the company of two outstanding craftspeople in the mirth arts. Yes, indeed. I'm joined by entertainer, entrepreneur, comedian, man about town, and it turns out economist who knows some stuff as well. It's the one and only David Mulholland. Welcome to Mark Dolan Eats the News.
Hi, Mark. It's good to be here.
You're also reassuringly American.
Oh, yes. Yes, very.
And I can't
wait. I've lost the accent quite a bit.
Can I be honest with you?
You won't see that.
I've done something very... Well, you've got like a lovely, elegant, posh American accent. I've done something very special because I'm going to introduce our other comedian who is simply hilarious, clever... And nice. It's Wendy Wason. Welcome to FUBAR Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And what we've done is... I've already made a call that I believe Britain is going to leave the European Union. I believe we're going to have Brexit, and here's why. Because of, well, basically, foreigners. This is the big thing, right? So everyone's worried about immigration, all that stuff. So what we've done at FUBAR Radio is we've kind of called it, or early, that Britain's leaving the EU, which is why on today's show it's only foreigners, just for like one last hurrah.
I hate to break it to you, but Scotland's part of Great Britain.
Yeah, say that. Do you know what I mean? So we've got an American, we've got a Scots lady, and I'm a Paddy. So, you know, once Brexit happens, it's game over. My wife is German. So this has been very difficult because if we have Brexit, she'll have to go.
Yeah.
And that's quite, you know, obviously I've packed
so
her bags.
Nigel Farage's wife.
Farage, yeah, and Farage hopefully as well. So here's the thing. No, clearly that was a joke. We do not know what's going to happen. What we want is everyone to go out and vote. I can't tell you what way to vote.
I can.
But David Mulholland can. But what we can do is urge you to get out there and vote. David has a background in economics. He's also a hilariously, brilliantly funny man. So is Wendy Wason. But what we got to do now, because we are a live 24/7 rolling online radio station, we have breaking news. And it's Boris Johnson, who is actually speaking outside Westminster at the Palace of Westminster at the moment. And it's one last plea from Boris. Now, the thing about it is that, as I've explained, other broadcast outlets cannot have a platform anymore for public figures. It's a kind of purdah today until 10 p.m. But that's where, at FUBAR Radio, we are unique. So this is Boris Johnson live at Westminster. Mr. Johnson, can you hear me? And welcome to FUBAR Radio.
Hello. So, yes, I'm Boris Johnson, former Mayor of London, with a, if you like, a final plea to exit the European Union.
Thank
now,
you.
A lot of people have said that my debating style has been based very much on kind of woolly, vague promises about everything will be okay, lots of hope, let's not have Project Fear, you know, just unspecific. So here
Sure.
concrete guarantees of what will happen if we leave the dreadful European Union.
Okay,
first of all,
okay.
Adele will have more albums. There will be more Adele albums. That's a cast iron promise. Everyone likes Adele. Well done. Secondly, there will be a Nando's in every town in Britain. Even towns that don't matter, like Maidenhead and Stoke. That's a promise. And finally, I have it on an absolutely personal guarantee that Kim Kardashian has pledged to do more selfies. That's right, more Kim Kardashian selfies in very tight t-shirts if we leave the European Union. So what happens if we stay? Well, if we stay, the way we make tea will be different. They're going to make us leave the bag in while the milk goes in. That's just wrong. Also, there's going to be, if we stay, more bits of Lego on the floor, just around the place. And when you're not wearing shoes, you're going to step on it. It's going to hurt. More Lego on the floor if we stay. That's a threat. If we stay in the European Union, they're going to let George Lucas direct more Star Wars films. Just think about that for a moment. George Lucas directing more Star Wars films. Also, if you're a fan of Toblerone, they'll be gone. No more Toblerone. Bye-bye, triangular chocolate. You can kiss goodbye to that one. Showers. Showers won't work very well if we stay in the European Union. You know that thing where you want to get it sort of warm enough that it's comfortable, but not like burningly hot? Well, that won't work anymore. The dial will be all fucked up, and you'll either freeze your tits off or burn your bollocks off. A choice you don't want to have to make. And finally, if we stay in the wretched European Union, there's every chance there will be a second series of the new look Top Gear presented by Chris Evans, and I think we'll all agree, no one wants to see that. This is Boris Johnson urging you to vote Leave. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Johnson, and we appreciate your intervention at this stage. In the name of balance, we hope to hear from the Prime Minister, David Cameron, later in the show. David Mulholland, as a North American who lives in the UK, has made your business here. How long have you been in the UK now? How many years?
I've been in the UK for 15 years. Over here back when Clinton was still president.
That's amazing. Those were the days.
Yeah.
That's a sentence you'll be able to say again very soon.
Yes. Yes, almost certainly. Yes, now the wife will be president.
Well, indeed. And here's the thing. So you're an honorary Brit. I know that you've assimilated very well. You speak the language now.
Yes, it's been a painful...
But do you eat the
painful
food?
Painful to learn. I eat some of the food.
His grandmother still sends packages over. And I know that you've developed an English style of alcohol intake, which is obviously why you're quite unwell.
Well, I had to, otherwise I wouldn't fit in.
So here's a couple of questions for you. I know you've got a background in economics. First of all, do you care? Does it affect you? You're North American. You're here now. It's not really your problem, is it?
Well, in a way, no, it's not my problem. But yes, I think it is because I live in the UK. I have a business in the UK. And that's going to suffer horribly if the UK pulls out.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, that's a very, very good point. And also, in a kind of the economic context, tell me why you're a Remainer.
Well, my guess is if the UK pulls out, the UK is going to have to renegotiate its trade agreement with the EU. Now, given that the UK needs the EU a lot more than the EU needs the UK, that negotiation is basically going to be the EU saying to the British representative, bend over and grab your ankles.
Right.
You don't have a choice, and everything is going to go.
See,
up
that's
in
one
price.
Of my favourite sentences. that's the kind of stuff people say to me when I'm relaxing and kicking back a little bit. But in economic terms, it's not ideal.
No,
oh,
in economic
I thought
terms,
you slipped onto yoga.
Oh no.
It's a bad thing, is it?
I think it's more Kama Sutra, isn't it?
I think it's more Kama Sutra and not consensual. I think.
Right.
I think the thing is that, look, there's a lot of companies that have their base in the UK that are in the UK because it's part of the EU. They're all going to pull out.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be, the knock-on effect will be millions of jobs. I mean, I think this will mean a new recession for the UK. And the only thing that the UK can hope for is that it can keep most of the agreements in place, in which case, the situation the UK will be in is it can do nothing about anything in EU regulations. It will have to stick to all of them. It will have to stick to the free trade of movement of people, so we'll be able to do nothing about immigration, but it will no longer have a say in the EU. Right now, the UK is one of the big three, and if the UK pulls out, it is no longer going to be one of the big three. It's going to be the whipping boy.
And if you do business with the EU or want to, you're still going to have to follow their rules.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll have none of the benefits and all of the restrictions.
Exactly.
Okay. That seems fair.
And also, now Wendy, are you a Remainer or a Brexiteer?
I'm a Remainer.
Okay. And here's the thing. What do you think's going to happen? What's your gut?
I was explaining this to David before we came on. I was saying, in my timeline on Twitter and on Facebook and all my friends, we're all talking about remaining. But I did a gig on the night of the election and I thought we weren't going to vote Tory.
Yeah.
And the exit polls suggested we weren't going to vote Tory. And then you had all these shy Tories, or as I call them, lying fuckers. And the Tories got in with a majority.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel in my heart that it's going to be Remain. But essentially, I don't hang out with people who I don't agree with, it would seem.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, you only have to go north of Watford and the political atmosphere is completely different.
But I know people my parents' age who want to exit because they think that they're being raped by the EU.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that whole thing, the Louis C.K. bit where they're saying immigrants come and taking our job, and Louis C.K. points out that if you can't get a job and someone with no contacts, no family and doesn't speak the language can take your job, there's every chance that you're shit at your job. And that's what we worry about. And I kind of think also in the UK, people feel that they're too good for their jobs. So the people that don't want to be a cleaner or want to be a builder, someone else can do those jobs, the people that come in from the EU, but they don't, and then they'll complain about it.
Well, I wonder.
It's terrible, all these Polish builders coming in and doing high-quality work for low prices.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
It's an absolute travesty. What happened to the proud British builder who did crap work?
Yeah, and then moved to Spain.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think that the problem is, the sticking point is, I think almost everybody would be a Remainer. It would be a landslide if it just wasn't for the issue of numbers of people coming to the country. The big argument that seems to really have landed on the part of the Brexit people is that, logistically, how practical is it to have 300,000-400,000 people a year arriving in the country and needing school places, needing hospital treatment, all the rest of it? Purely on a logistical basis, there is some argument there, surely.
But how much is this referendum costing us?
How do you mean?
I mean, it must cost a lot of money to put all this together.
Yeah, it does.
A few million. That's a drop in the ocean.
So someone said 9 million.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's tiny.
That's small change.
But it is for change. But I mean, I kind of feel like the government are mismanaging all the money that's coming in.
Well, I mean, I don't think that the referendum, whether the UK stays in the EU or pulls out, will change anything to do with immigration, because the UK would be committing economic suicide if it pulled out of free trade of labor. So it's not going to do that. And on the other side of it, look, you know, you've got the jungle in France where you've got all these illegal immigrants who want to get into the UK, and the French are stopping them because it's part of the EU. As soon as the UK pulls out, would you think the French are going to say, oh, no, we're going to keep you here and make sure that you don't move and keep feeding you and don't let you move to the UK because it's all part of the EU? No, they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is they're going to say, here's a boat.
Right.
But you want to leave the EU? Here's a boat. And by the way, England is that way.
Well, that's my concern, certainly. If we wake up tomorrow morning and we've left the EU, we overnight have become the enemy, haven't we, in terms of the continent?
Absolutely.
Or at least a rival, at very least.
Do you know what? The England fans in France right now aren't really doing us any favours.
No, they're not.
But did you see all the countries putting up the Union Jack on their buildings?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, really?
All across Europe.
Wow, that's remarkable, isn't it?
Actually making me tear up a little bit.
No, well, it is quite. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm absolutely certain that we will remain. I think that the Brexiteers are like a considerable minority, but a loud minority. And I think that anybody that wants to leave is by definition very out there with it, wearing it on their sleeve. And I think that the silent majority are Remainers. I think the challenge is to get those people out and get them to vote. If you had 100% turnout, there's no question we'd remain. Mm-hmm. So it's just a question of mobilising the Remainers.
And if we Brexit, we don't get to be in the Eurovision, do we?
That would be.
Mind you, Australia has.
Wait a minute.
Now you're selling it to me. You've got to be careful. I haven't voted yet. I'm wavering now. No more Eurovision. Sign me up.
I do think it's interesting that if you look on the two sides of the camp, on the Leave side, you've got old sphincter-faced Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, Boris Johnson, the leader of ISIS, and Nigel Farage.
And Liz Hurley.
Nigel Farage, let's face it. I mean, okay, maybe he's not a racist, but let's face it. His favorite shot probably is Lily White. Right, his favorite fairy tale is probably Snow White and the Seven Aryans.
He's a nasty man.
Oh, he's a horrible man. And I'm not saying that Nigel Farage is a racist. I'm heavily implying that Nigel Farage is a racist. But as far as I can tell, the only foreigners he likes are Germans and the occasional Argentine named Fritz.
Well, certainly plenty of his followers are of a racist hue, and that should be troubling for him, if nothing else. I mean, one of the question is, if we stay, Farage is gone as a public figure, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, if we stay, will that be closure?
Is that it? One could only hope.
I don't understand why UKIP have been given the platform they've been given. There's just such a...
I've got 3.5 million reasons why.
Yeah,
because that's how many people voted UKIP at the last election. I mean, this is the thing about me. I obviously don't support their platform one bit. I am a Democrat, however, and I just wonder, because the next thing I wanted to ask you is, should we be having this referendum in the first place? Now, on the one hand, like, it's ridiculous. No. Why should we even get the public bogged down in such a complex technical issue as whether we should have EU membership? It should be decided by experts and elected politicians. The flip side is, if 3.5 million people have voted for UKIP and they've got one MP... and no other representative voice, it does seem like maybe Cameron was serving democracy by giving us a referendum.
Well, then that's a whole issue about the first past the post voting system. But there's another issue about the whole referendum. I studied economics and international affairs in grad school. I studied quite a bit about the EU.
And where did you study, by the way?
George Washington University.
And where is that exactly?
In Washington, D.C.
Did you have a good time there?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Nice city. Bit humid.
Very humid. Yeah. Like today here, only not as warm. the thing is, and when I was a journalist, I spent a lot of time in Brussels. I met a lot of these people. And the thing is, the EU is really, really complex. Understanding the issue is fiendishly difficult. And the thing is, asking the people whether the UK should stay part of the EU is kind of like asking Wayne Rooney whether he comes down on the string theory side or the many worlds interpretation of quantum physics. And I think Wayne Rooney's response would be, "I like ice cream."
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I suppose we've seen with Scotland that referenda don't necessarily create closure, because all people can talk about in Scotland is when we're going to have another referendum.
Well, what worries me about Brexit is if that happens, that's going to trigger another referendum in Scotland, because Scotland still wants to be part of the EU. So you could have a situation where in England it's pounds, shillings and pence, and we've got euros up in Scotland, which is kind of bizarre.
It is
a bit
bizarre.
You know, I was reading about Boris Johnson. He was a journalist in Brussels, and he used to just make up stories that would
be interesting. A lot of the tabloids in the UK make up stories whole cloth. I did a show for 4 years in a row called You're Being Lied To, and what I did is I fact-checked the tabloids. I could have easily made the show nothing except for the EU. The lies that the tabloids have printed about the EU are just astonishing. The Sun had a story about how red-faced women are going to have to hand in their clapped-out sex toys before they can buy a new one. And that wasn't true at all. The actual thing from the EU was saying that if you are buying a new large electrical appliance like a refrigerator, you can, upon request, ask that the person selling you the new one, delivering the new one, take the old one back for recycling.
Now, appliances online does that anyway.
But I mean, imagine if it were true that the EU is saying that women had to hand in their used vibrators before they could buy a new one. Do you realize that would create a black market in used vibrators? Because how else would a woman buy her first one?
Coming soon to a vending machine near you.
Exactly. There would be guys on street corners going, "Psst, hey, you want to buy a used Rampant Rabbit?" I mean, it's insane.
I'm very excited about this. I'm glad you mentioned about this misinformation, because my team here at FUBAR Radio have been working on sort of fact-checking for us in the last 2 weeks of the campaign. The BBC have got their reality checks department, and we've got one at FUBAR called hashtag Get Real. And it's quite, isn't it? It's quite youth. That was one of mine. I thought of that in the car. And we've got to some key facts. So if you haven't voted, I can sort of actually just give you the undiluted truth about where we're at and the advantages for and against. So we're going to do that shortly. And also, we're going to look at the implications. Let's just imagine how it is tomorrow, either way. If we wake up and we're out of the EU, if we wake up and we're inside the EU, how's that going to look? How's it going to feel? It's FUBAR Radio. We'd love your tweets at FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com. Have you voted? Are you going to vote? And if you have voted, what did you wear? I think because there's sort of quite a thing about what to wear when you go and vote. You never know who you're going to bump into. There might be some, you know, it's an opportunity to date and find, like, you know, people.
So I'll be like, what did you, my name is Wendy Wason, I'm on at 6:45 at the Gilded Balloon all through August.
It's and a bit of that. It is a bit, and I'm wearing. So we're going to do that. Let's just do now. What we're going to do is we're going to play a track by Al Green called Let's Stay Together, which is a subliminal message from FUBAR Radio. Don't go anywhere. More of this to come.
Guys, for joining me.
Yeah, I worked on spitting image of two people, in fact.
Okay.
I was myself, and then after the first series of spitting image, so I started contributing as a 14-year-old schoolgirl called Sarah Yallop. Yeah, no, seriously.
Really? The great tragedy of this story is that she got an invitation, this fictional schoolgirl, to the end of series party, and unfortunately we couldn't persuade Guy to go to the end of series party dressed as a 14-year-old girl.
Every Friday,
Screen Talk with Dan.
from 12 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
There you go. What a great lineup on FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. We promise whatever happens tomorrow, whatever kind of country you wake up to, we will still be here 24/7. It's just that if we have Brexit, there will be fewer foreign voices on the radio, which is going to be absolutely super. It's going to be kind of radio apartheid. Okay, so let's imagine two scenarios, Wendy. First of all, we wake up in the morning and we've left the European Union. It's Brexit by a tiny margin, like 51% to 49%.
Okay.
What happens? Is there any scope for challenging that? Is there scope for Parliament saying we're not going to acknowledge this? Is there scope for another referendum if it's not decisive?
I think what we should do after that is have a referendum about whether to have a referendum, because that seems referendums seem to work really well. They seem to sort of they just don't give you a full stop on a subject.
Yeah,
because a referendum starts a conversation. It doesn't solve anything. But if it means that the queue at passport control in Gatwick Airport is shorter, I'm all for it.
Shall we save time? Because clearly we've got three Remainers in the studio. Yeah. For the sake of balance, can we look at some positives of Brexit if it were to happen? Let's look at the good side.
David, you might know that better than this. What happens with TTIP if...
The UK will still sign up to TTIP.
You think we'll still sign up?
Yeah.
Whether we're in or we're out?
Yeah.
That terrifies me.
What is TTIP?
It's the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership,
which means all sorts of pharmaceutical companies.
Got all excited when you said trans.
Caitlyn Jenner was involved. No. Oh God, no! But it means that American drug companies can come over and sell their drugs here for the vastly inflated prices that they sell them for in the States.
Right.
And also, if any government tries to stop that. A partnership, they can sue for loss of future earnings. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It basically gives... It shafts every country signing up to it. But no, the UK is one of the chief architects of it. So no, the UK will still sign up to it.
Okay, here's my sort of devil's advocate scenario here in terms of if we have Brexit. I don't think there's any doubt we're looking at 10 really tough years.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at what Cameron calls a DIY recession almost straight away. Mm-hmm. The pound will take a hit. The pound will drop in value by, it could be 20, 25%.
I think that's reasonable.
Now, that's great for exports because it makes what we sell abroad cheaper. However,
if they don't have tariffs against them.
Exactly. And then the other thing is that it means that whatever we buy becomes more expensive, and
exactly.
that causes inflation. And if you have a lot of inflation, it reduces the value of wages. And also the way to control inflation is to increase house prices. Sorry, I've gone mad. To increase interest rates, mm-hmm. which will affect house prices. You could have a housing crash, a currency crisis, and mass unemployment. But here's the thing.
I think that's pretty much it.
I don't think anyone is denying that is highly likely.
So that's going to happen either way.
Here's what Farage said. And this is where Farage is a great, great politician. He was on The Mar Show a couple of weeks ago. And he said, if the pound drops, so what? He said. He was very flippant about it. And the hardcore of the Brexiteers actually think it's a price worth paying. A lost decade is a price worth paying, because here's the thing. After a decade, the country will have adapted its relations. It will have negotiated deals. By about within 10 years, there will be something resembling, a trading environment for the UK that's acceptable. At which point, you've got total autonomy over the numbers coming in, of who comes in. You can really, be a sovereign nation again. Democracy will be alive because the government you elect really is the government you elect. They're the ones who make the decisions. So I'm wondering whether if we can get past this lost decade, whether the long-term future in terms of Brexit ain't that bad.
I think it will wind up, if the UK actually pulls out and says, no, we're going to control our borders, and then so it has to deal with 35% tariffs to export stuff to Europe, if that happens, then European expertise, which is all over the UK industry, is going to dry up. And that means a much, much worse economy. I think there'll be a housing crash. I think the housing bubble will burst. Mm. And if we look at other economies when they've had serious housing bubbles burst, combined with other effects, I think we're looking at, 10 years of recession and then about 2% off of GDP growth forever after.
Right. And we're not even in that good shape at the moment,
no.
are we? Because we're still heavily in debt. We've still got austerity. So it could be ten times worse. What about culturally, just for the country to have some independence again and just to say, this is the UK and, you know, we're going to do our own thing now?
But I kind of feel
like irrelevant. Self-confidence. The UK becomes irrelevant.
Could the UK not become like a sort of European equivalent of the USA? Just very market-driven, very lean, mean economic machine.
I can feel like we should be. I don't want to sap like American culture. I look at the American culture. And I don't want to. I want to be sapping European culture and French films and art and all that. The stuff that's coming from Europe, I think, is far more interesting than the sort of plastic society they have over in America. I don't want that for us.
Does this boil down to geography? Do we have this very bipolar relationship with Europe because geographically we're in it and not in it? Because we're near those countries, but we're still an island. Is it the island mentality?
Possibly.
I think that has something to do with it. I mean, one of the weird things is that France is closer to us right here in London than is Edinburgh.
Right. Yeah.
And it's easy to forget that, but it's, you know, France is close.
Okay.
I love France.
So look, France is marvelous. You'll probably be living there soon. But okay, here's the
I speak French.
I mean, no one really talks about this. My favorite thing about being in the EU is just the idea that if I wanted, I could have a midlife crisis and just go and live in Rome.
Well, quite a lot
and that's
of people,
an amazing. And no one's talking about the fact that
over to, like, in France, the healthcare system for pensioners is much better than it is over here.
Which
so
takes
quite a
the
lot
pressure,
of people
takes the pressure off our NHS.
Yeah, and quite a lot of people retire to France because the healthcare there is
also
so much
better. Is all there's half a million old English people in Spain on the Costa del Sol,
and the Spanish economy is on its knees.
Yeah, too right. So okay, let's look at the Remain scenario. So we wake up in the morning, we're still in the EU. Here's my contention. I think it's very, very important that the political establishment acknowledge that that was a close call, that they've had a huge let off, the country's had a let off, but the political establishment is going to have to really, you know, the EU, every main political party in this country is going to have to acknowledge and accept the message from the British public, which is the EU is not fit for purpose. It needs to be fixed in a variety of ways. And we start that tomorrow morning.
What do you think is wrong with the EU?
Well, one issue is the free movement of labour. So, for example, does the EU create special funds so that places that have a huge influx, which produces pressure on school places and on health services and all the other infrastructural stuff, whether there are grants targeting certain communities? Because there's no question that there are parts of the country that have been affected by mass immigration more than others. If we ignore that, and if particularly the Labour Party ignore that, because we're talking about working class northern towns, then in the end, the Labour Party will die. This is my contention. And UKIP will grow. The big surprise, the reason why the Tories won the election, is because Labour voters went over to UKIP, which no one saw coming. So my thing is, great, we'll all celebrate tomorrow morning with a glass of Prosecco or champagne from our French or Italian neighbours. But once we've celebrated, I think we've got to look at getting this right, making it work.
The EU is not perfect. It's far from it. One of the things that really struck me when I was hanging out in Brussels as a reporter and talking to people who work in the EU, they are incredibly bright people, incredibly well-educated people. And there's not that many of them. There are fewer of them than there are bureaucrats in London.
Right.
For London, just London. Not for the UK, not the national bureaucrats. No, just the London city government has more people than the entire EU.
By the way, what are the implications of a Brexit for the EU? Will the EU shrug that off and say, good, at last the stumbling block of all EU policy is gone? The UK always with a point of order here and a point of order there, dragging its heels in. Would it be liberating for the EU if the UK left?
I think there's an argument that it will be.
Get
and
stuff done
also,
much quicker.
There could also be an agenda. The EU will be... I think the EU in some ways will be better off because they'll be able to improve their terms of trade with England. And let's not pretend that Scotland's going to stay. It's not going to be the United Kingdom. It's going to be England. I mean, Northern Ireland and Wales may leave too.
I mean, the prediction is if we have Brexit, in terms of the EU, two things could happen. One, the EU could crumble.
Yeah. Well, we were instrumental in setting it up, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Yeah.
That's just a shocker. Like, I mean, like Kev comes like, guys, have a party at my house. And then I...
And then, yeah, you leave.
Yeah.
At your own party.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I found hysterically funny was the whole thing about that the tabloids and Farage and company were saying about, oh, the EU human rights, this is horrible. You forcing your idea of rights down our throats. It was Brits that came up with it.
And also, the Republic of Ireland aren't paying attention to the EU human rights by they're not allowing abortion.
Yeah, that's true.
The Eighth Amendment doesn't is still illegal, and you can be punished by prison sentence of 14 years in the Republic for having an abortion. And the EU have said that's not right.
I suppose what could happen is if we have Brexit, the EU can fulfil its destiny and become a large country, the United States of Europe. Perhaps that's what will happen, because the many arguments are that economically, in the absence of the UK and the UK's contribution to the EU budget, the EU countries are going to have, and the Eurozone countries are going to have to come close together just to survive.
I don't know why we're such a big force anyway, because we're a tiny island. I don't understand why, like, you look at Germany and the sort of vast wealth and what we bring to the table.
Well, we get the figure. What is the figure in terms of the UK and our size of economy globally?
I think it's seventh.
Right.
UK is seventh, and I think the order is...
USA?
US, China, Japan, Germany.
France are just above us, aren't they, still?
I think, France and the UK are generally neck and neck.
I've heard a figure of that we're the fifth biggest economy in the world. You're suggesting seventh. I trust your opinion more.
I think the last I heard was seventh.
But here's the thing. People are saying we can be great outside the EU. We're the fifth biggest economy or the seventh biggest economy in the world. You're like, well, wait a minute. How did that happen? We're in the EU. That's bound to have helped, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's had a huge positive impact on the UK.
So if we remain, how does the EU move forward in terms of its relationship with Britain? Because what's clear is that for the foreseeable future, the UK is not going to join the euro. For the foreseeable future, the UK is not going to be part of the Schengen Agreement, which is the borderless crossings, which means that anybody with a EU passport just goes around, don't even have to show your passport. So no Schengen, no euro, and no ever closer union. Is that going to work? Can you have a two-speed Europe with two kinds of countries?
This is just... The economic realities of the EU are that the euro, I think, is probably too big. You need to have an efficient tax collection system to support your government. If you don't have that, you've got to basically steal money from everybody by inflating the currency so the government can have money to spend.
Right.
And that basically is what Greece and Italy and, to a lesser degree, Spain and Portugal have done in the past because of inefficient tax collection. Tax collection is getting much more efficient in Spain and Portugal. Italy, I think they're getting better, but it's kind of shaky. Greece is hopeless. So having them in the euro, I think it's a real problem for the euro.
Yeah.
But for Northern Europe, I think... The euro, it could be, absolutely perfectly sound. The question is how to deal with the southern tier.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what do you think, Wendy, about the idea of two kinds of European country? You know, there's just the UK, Denmark, sort of semi-detached nations who are part of some of the aspects, but not all. Is that going to work?
I don't know. I think you have hard and fast rules, don't you? These sort of shades of grey aren't very helpful, I don't think. And if you're going to be part of something, join in and get stuck in. And if you're not, get out and shut up.
Mm. So in a way, you'd sort of force the public's hand and say, you should actually decide. Do you want to be...
I don't think we should force the public's hand. I don't think the public wants to make a decision on this. I don't think the public have all the information. And also, I think the main problem the public have is politicians lie all the time. We didn't know what they were going to do to the NHS, so we voted in the Tories. And then, like Mike Portillo said in the Andrew Neil show, we were always going to do this. And Andrew Neil said, why didn't you tell us what you're going to do to the NHS? And he said, because we knew you wouldn't vote for us. So that's the mentality of politicians. And people don't trust them anymore because we don't know what we're being told.
Well, I do have some facts. The FUBAR Radio Fact Checking Department.
#GetReal.
Thank you very much. Leon is the wizard behind this, and he pulled an all-nighter to deliver the facts.
I like that expression, pulled an all-nighter.
He did, yeah.
She sounds like fun.
I know, exactly. He pulled an all-nighter, and he's only with us, like, literally, because of Meow Meow now. he's got it's a natural high just to
keep.
Oh,
the drug as opposed to the singer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a singer called Meow Meow?
Yeah.
I'm so out of touch. So we have some very interesting developments as to what will happen. Let's take a look at this. Right, first of all, apparently if we leave the EU, the Queen will be deported back to Germany. Which is a big story. And they're going to have quite a big bill on their hands. Because she's like, that is a seriously high maintenance illegal immigrant, isn't it, the Queen? I mean, just the corgis alone is like thousands of euros. Saying bon appetit will be punishable as a hate crime. Coffee will be made illegal. Oh my God. Tea remains legal, but you have to put the milk in first. What?
No.
That is so wrong.
That's the end of days.
That's the worst sentence we've heard in the last 45 minutes. If we leave, a Dulux colour chart will be installed on the border. If you're any darker than magnolia or apple white, they won't let you in. Oh, no. What are we going to do? This
well,
is a
Russians
nightmare.
Russians will still be here then.
You're quite. You would actually fail the Dulux test because you look really tanned and healthy.
I've been. Whenever there's sunshine, I go out for a run.
You're a clever boy. What else have we got? We have pizza and French fries to be outlawed, obviously. If we vote leave, then Obama will be putting us on a timeout. This is really troubling me. Apparently, we'll lose magic stars forever. Have you heard about that?
No.
Are you familiar with magic stars?
You mean the Milky Way things?
Yeah, they're part of the Milky Way franchise. They're small Milky Way type star chocolates.
Why would we lose them?
Well, my team's been working on this. I think it's to do with the fact that on the packet it says not for sale outside the EU, which is what we could be tomorrow. Amazing. If we leave, Margaret Thatcher will come back from the dead and rule for 1,000 years. Interesting. Oh no, if we leave, your toast will always land butter side down. Think of the children, it says here. If we stay, every time you use a vending machine, it will drop two things. So that's quite nice.
That's
a good one. I should have mentioned that. Cameron should have gone live with that one. Incidents of stubbing your toe will go up 32% over the next 12 years. Why risk it? A lot of these are unbroadcastable because they're quite adult in theme. If we leave, then the Grand Tour will be as shit as the new Top Gear. Oh no. How's that possible? And finally, if we leave, then we'll let George Lucas direct the next Star Wars film. And no one wants that.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, it's FUBAR Radio in the company of comedian Wendy Wason and also comedian Mr. David Mulholland. We're going to talk more about the EU, but we've also got some other fun stories from the week. There is other stuff going on, although it's hard to believe. What we're going to do first of all is play a track by Michael Jackson, and this is Leave Me Alone, Don't Go Anywhere.
FUBAR Radio, it's Mark Dolan eats the news at exactly 12:47. I must say I have mixed feelings about playing Michael Jackson after a bad week for brand Michael Jackson, because Wendy Wason, comedian, and David Mulholland, we discovered gory details of some of Michael Jackson's sexual proclivities. Police officers are investigating and searching the Neverland Ranch. Found a sort of secret room behind another room, which was full of children's toys and some very, very dark material, pornography featuring young people and other stuff that we just don't want to, you know, go into in any kind of detail. Appalling, abhorrent, shocking and terrible. So I think, you know, you can safely say that Michael Jackson was a paedophile. I think that's quite clear and established. Does that in any way affect one's ability to enjoy the work of a great artist? Like, should we actually stop listening to Michael Jackson? How do we sort of square this morally?
But then if you did that with every artist, like, throughout history, so many great artists are like
monsters.
So many of them are vile, but what they produce is amazing. And I don't want to defend Michael Jackson, because first of all, I'm going to go out there and say it. Paedophilia is a bad thing.
Okay.
Right? There you go.
Right.
I said it.
Oh, controversial.
I'm going to confront that head on. Paedophilia is a bad thing. But my ex-husband was a big fan of Gary Glitter, and he always used to say it's really important to separate the man from his music.
Now, does that mean that your ex-husband still listens to the work of Gary Glitter?
Yeah, he loves Gary Glitter.
I mean, one thing in terms of like how you square it morally is financially, every time you listen to a Michael Jackson song or a Gary Glitter song, you are adding money to their estate. So in some ways, not playing their music, it potentially is a way. It is a form of action.
But there's so many animals out there making money. Like, you know, even R. Kelly. I always used to think that. I believe I can fly. I think I could fly too, R. Kelly, if I got away with 21 counts of sex with a minor. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So therefore, okay, well, this is... I mean, we know Elvis had groupies, and God knows how young some of those people were. Jerry Lee Lewis, didn't he get married to...
married a 13-year-old cousin.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's always a bit tricky. So you think that we're at risk of... If I stop listening to the Thriller album, I'm essentially... I'm being hypocritical, really. Is that what we're saying?
It takes on a whole new meaning now when you know he's a predatory paedophile, isn't it?
That's the thing.
He's the werewolf.
Well, yeah, he is the... exactly.
He's the actual werewolf.
The weird thing, did you ever see the Bashir interview with Michael Jackson?
I did indeed. It was brilliant.
Yeah, one of the things that really struck me in that interview was that Michael Jackson wasn't an adult.
See, I've got a theory about this.
He liked kids because he was on the same level. He had never grown up. Yeah. And it was weird and creepy and unpleasant to think about. But I think he was attracted to children because mentally he was on the same level as
well,
them.
Well, I've got my theory is that when you get famous, you stick at the age you were when you got sort of the stratospheric global success.
Yeah, five.
So he was five. Justin Bieber gets a load of shit for being a dick. But he was like 13 when he got famous. Yeah. I mean, we're all dickheads at 13. If we had that kind of money, we'd. And Madonna, she's slightly more sane, but she got famous at 25. So I do think if your brain freezes at that spot. I had a friend who was good mates with Robbie Williams, and he got famous at 16. He doesn't even know how to post a letter. He doesn't know the sort of how you do that because someone's always done it for him.
Yeah, wow.
So you get sort of institutionalized by fame.
All right. So I feel like overall I have your blessing to continue listening to Dirty Diana and all the rest of it because art is one thing.
See, now you start investigating all the song titles. Dirty Diana might not just.
Well, I tell you what I think. I tell you what I think does happen is I think that the music remains great music. It's great work, but I think that if a person does terrible things in their life and then it comes out after they've died, it will reduce his status as a musical icon. Yeah. And that should be the punishment. There has to be some kind of punishment, doesn't it?
My brain is scrolling through all the Michael Jackson songs now. I've got like PYT, Pretty Young Thing, Beat It. Yeah. Oh, God.
It's
traumatizing.
It's all rather troubling, isn't it? I'm the world's biggest Elton John fan. I mean, I live Elton John.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, there isn't a day go by I wouldn't listen.
Yeah, but he's not a paedophile.
No, he isn't. He's a wonderful artist and humanitarian and just a delightful character. But
we can accept gay people.
But my thing is, no. But what would happen if, and it's not the case with Elton, thank God, but what would happen if something came out? Because you don't know, do
there's
you?
There's odds and ends that are bopping about in the background about Elton.
What you got to love about Elton is that he was interviewed 10 years ago in one of the music magazines, and they're like, did you take drugs? Yes. Yes. Which ones? He said everything except heroin. Did you have rent, boys? Yes. You know, I shagged everything. Shagged everything that moved. Elton's decision was just to be honest.
Do you think there is? If you look at celebrities who have done bad things, do you think there's a purport? Like there's a the amount of work they do for charity is directly proportional to their depravity?
Oh my goodness. It's a cover.
No, I would guess that Nigel Farage is pretty depraved, but he doesn't do much for charity.
I don't think he is depraved. I think he's probably really vanilla.
I think we've been very hard on Nigel Farage. He's not here to defend himself.
No, but I think he deserves it.
And I wonder one thing.
He's the same age as Brad Pitt.
What a thought. Okay, and on that note, let's hit. We'll do a little.
Well, that's an interesting point. I think you should generally take political advice from people who don't give you the dry heaves if you think about having sex with them.
That's a very, very good thought indeed. Now, what we're going to do
Oh my God, I'm going to be sick.
Let's see whether we can hit a couple of stories here. First of all, a wife.
Michael Gove is too far. There's no need for that.
That's the rudest thing we've heard today.
My God.
I have a headline here from the Mail Online, which Wendy Wason rightly points out is my favourite online news platform. Happy Father's Day from your 22 kids and counting. Livid wife of New York maths professor finds out he's impregnated 18 women by donating his sperm for free. First of all, David, would you share your very valuable premium DNA with a stranger? Well, I know you do at the weekends.
I no longer do that, but I have done that in the past, although generally I have been responsible.
Would you donate, though?
Would I donate? I don't see why not. I considered it in the past, but then there are legal ramifications, and that made me go, nah.
Right. Oh, yeah. They'll come back and start looking
for money.
Yeah.
I think the most disturbing part of this story is he often produces the sperm in a restroom in a menstrual cup, and a hopeful mother places the cup in her cervix for 12 hours. You're not a hopeful mother until you're pregnant, so obviously it's just a hopeful. First of all, that's
and also, couldn't they be romantic? Couldn't they go like Fernando's beforehand or something?
Well, I think apparently, according to the article,
he doesn't do it that way with all of them.
Yeah, some of them he did more than wank into a
menstrual cup.
Yeah.
It just seems so
okay. Now
dirty.
You're very happily married with a lovely, handsome, fine figure of a man. Mm-hmm. How would you feel if it turned out that he had fathered in excess of 20 children without you knowing, but not through any relations with anyone, just by donating?
You see, I like the idea of sperm donation. I think, as anyone who has children knows, getting pregnant is so unfair the way it all happens. Some people really struggle to get pregnant. So I think if someone wants to donate sperm, I think that's great. And I think if you can do it anonymously and help someone have a baby, wonderful.
Yeah.
But I think not telling your wife about it is a bit...
Well, if he had
tell his wife about it. She just didn't approve.
She didn't know there was 22 of them, though. It says that the wife of math professor finds out. She didn't know about it at the time.
How would you feel, though, if your partner, if your husband said, I'd like to do this, would he have your blessing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful thing. I don't think... Because, I mean, you said, I don't know what the legal ramifications are. If you donate your sperm anonymously, does that mean they're going to come back and say, you're my dad?
There have been cases of that.
Right. Yeah. So there's no precedent as yet.
I don't know.
Okay.
I looked into it, it made me go, no, really?
Yeah. I think if someone's struggling to get pregnant, donating sperm is a wonderful thing to do. And I looked into donating eggs for a friend because... But they don't let you do that. You've got to do it anonymously.
Now that we're on the subject of matters of the bedroom, there's been another story, and it's another sex tape related...
Matters of the bedroom, or the moon cup, if you will.
Could be. And it's a story about Kim Marsh, the Coronation Street actress, who allegedly has been blackmailed to the tune of £30,000 with a sex tape. So my question to you is, guys, what would be on your sex tape? What would it look like?
Yeah,
lots of cuddling.
Mine would be really great for YouTube because it would be a very short video. So very shareable.
And kids have got a very, very low attention span these days.
Yeah, that's it.
I ban mobile phones from the bedroom, I think. Is
anybody that produces or allows a mobile phone to be present in a sexual act is asking for trouble, are they not?
It is dodgy. I think so.
I wonder if this is an effort to keep her profile high.
Yeah. Is there anything new she's got coming out soon, or is there any new... Do you know what the thing about the newspapers now, because I know how much the tabloids lie and talk nonsense, when I hear something about someone who's got an injunction, I'm more inclined to believe it if it's not in the paper than if it's in the newspaper, because I hear so many people, you know, I've got so many people I know that have got injunctions over various different things, and friends who work for like celebrity lawyers, they're like,
This sounds like Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
I mean, Paris Hilton was the first one, and then Kim Kardashian copied her.
Do you know who
I think
the
Kim
deal
Marsh is just doing the same thing.
Do you know
I could be wrong, but that's my guess.
The deal for Kim Kardashian's sex tape, you know who did that? Her mother engineered the whole thing. Can you imagine? As a mother selling a tape of your teenage... Oh, my God.
Well, it's paid off.
Well, just sounds like a proud...
But at what price? At what price? They're sold.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
My God. But look at them.
And my final question to you is, this week, the actor Rupert Everett says, thank God I didn't have a sex change. He's a gay man. He's a brilliant actor, Rupert Everett, a real personality, done documentaries as well. He said he grew up wanting to be a girl, but cautions against allowing children to make rash decisions on surgery. I mean, certainly in terms of gender reassignment for a person, that would have to wait till adulthood, wouldn't it?
But they don't let children make... Do they let children have... gender operations?
Well, I would imagine in some parts of the world.
I think it's a grey area. I think I've read about some cases of like 16-year-olds.
Oh, right.
He's probably right. Like, wait till you're 18.
Well, yeah.
Wait a little while before you make that decision.
Wait till you're old enough to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a little while.
Earring.
What I thought was funny in the story, though, is the male identified him as gay actor. Wait a minute. What about just actor?
Just actor.
I mean, there's a... we're all in show business. You know that there's...
That's right.
There's more than the average number of gay people in show business. And so what?
And also, see, he strikes me as a gay man who's not that happy about being gay. Like, he did that whole article about gay men that shouldn't have children.
He's a self-loathing gay man. Before we go in 10 seconds, case, his thing was the real him is being a little girl. What's the real David Mulholland? Who's inside you?
It's on the outside.
That's why we love you.
Yeah.
Wendy Wason?
The real me is just a large glass of red wine.
Now you're talking. I'll drink to that, and I'll drink to both of my guests for being brilliant today.
Can I just say one thing?
Go.
If you are wondering about the EU referendum, go on YouTube and look at Michael Dugan, D-O-U-G-A-N. He is a law professor, and he talks about unvarnish the legal issues. And if you're wondering about the EU referendum, watch that, and you will know how to vote.
Do it!